Chapter 6. When the pie was opened, the birds began to sing. The children went out the back door quietly, and were presently lost to sight, Sarah Maud slipping and stumbling along absent-mindedly, as she recited, under her breath, "It was such a pleasant evening and such a short walk that we thought we'd leave our hats to home. It was such a pleasant evening and such a short walk that we thought we'd leave our hats to home." Peter rang the doorbell, and presently a servant admitted them, and whispering something in Sarah's ear, drew her downstairs into the kitchen. The other Ruggleses stood in horror-stricken groups as the door closed behind their commanding officer. But there was no time for reflection, for a voice from above was heard saying, "Come right upstairs, please." "There's not to make reply, there's not to reason why, there's but to do or die." Accordingly, they walked upstairs, and Elfrida, the nurse, ushered them into a room more splendid than anything they had ever seen. But oh, woe! Where was Sarah Maud? And was it fate that Mrs. Bird should say at once, "Did you lay your hats in the hall?" Peter felt himself elected by circumstance the head of the family, and casting one imploring look at tongue-tied Susan standing next him, said huskily, "It was so very pleasant that we hadn't good hats enough to go round," put in little Susan bravely to help him out, and then froze with horror that the ill-fated words had slipped off her tongue. However, Mrs. Bird said pleasantly, "Of course you wouldn't wear hats such a short distance. I forgot when I asked. Now, will you come right into Miss Carroll's room? She is so anxious to see you." Just then Sarah Maud came up the back stairs, so radiant with joy from her secret interview with the cook that Peter could have pinched her with a clear conscience, and Carol gave them a joyful welcome. "But where is Baby Larry?" she cried, looking over the group with searching eye. "Didn't he come?" "Larry! Larry! Good gracious, where was Larry?" They were all sure that he had come in with them, for Susan remembered scolding him for tripping over the doormat. Uncle Jack went into convulsions of laughter. "Are you sure there were 9 of you?" he asked merrily.
"I think so, sir," said Peoria timidly. "But anyhow, there was Larry," and she showed signs of weeping.
"Oh, well, cheer up," cried Uncle Jack. "Probably he's not lost, only mislaid. I'll go and find him before you can say Jack Robinson."
"I'll go too, if you please, sir," said Sarah Maud, "for it was my place to mind him, and if he's lost, I can't relish my victuals." The other Ruggleses stood rooted to the floor. Was this a dinner party, forsooth? And if so, why were such things ever spoken of as festive occasions? Sarah Maud went out through the hall, calling, "Larry? Larry?" And without any interval of suspense, a thin voice piped up from below, "Here I be!" The truth was that Larry, being deserted by his natural guardian, dropped behind the rest, and wriggled into the hat tree to wait for her, having no notion of walking unprotected into the jaws of a fashionable entertainment. Finding that she did not come, he tried to crawl from his refuge and call somebody when, dark and dreadful ending to a tragic day, he found that he was too much intertwined with umbrellas and canes to move a single step. He was afraid to yell. When I have said this of Larry Ruggles, I have pictured a state of helpless terror that would wring tears from every eye. And the sound of Sarah Maud's beloved voice, some seconds later, was like a strain of angel music in his ears. Uncle Jack dried his tears, carried him upstairs, and soon had him in breathless fits of laughter, while Carol so made the other Ruggleses forget themselves that they were presently talking like accomplished diners out.